now hanging on the cross, that Good Friday was originally called God's Friday, and thus now we call it Good Friday, knowing that it was a Good Friday, even though it was shrouded in darkness. And in John chapter 19, starting at verse 17, I'll read it to you. It says there, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.' Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where he was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And then the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews.' But Pilate answered and said to them, 'What I have written, I have written.' And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, for my clothing they did cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, that would be John, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and on a hyssop and put it up to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." If you would have been the Jew standing in the crowd or the Jew of that day, this Friday, very holy, very exciting, very wonderful period of time, the temple, very busy with sacrifices and all for the offerings of the sins of each household. But in the Jewish mind, the mind runs back this day. And they're thinking, oh, Moses commanded us in Exodus to offer up the Passover lamb. This is a great day. And for some 7 days now, that little lamb has been in the house of each family that shall sacrifice that lamb. And they were rehearsing what was done in the past there in Egypt, calling it the Passover, when God said, you must sacrifice a lamb in Egypt, and you must take the blood of that lamb, and you must put it on the doorpost of your house, over the top and on the two sides of the door. And then stay inside. You were commanded. For the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute my judgment, for I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves, according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house and strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for the Lord and unto the Lord for your sons forever," the scripture says. The Bible tells us at this period of time, it's now just moments after noon, not only here, but in our mind's eye back in Israel. And in Matthew chapter 27, the scripture says that from the noon hour to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a darkness that covered the land. And while all of these events are taking place, Jesus hanging there, the lambs being sacrificed over at the temple, Jesus being led outside of the city, and then posted on this cross as a stranger, crucified between these two thieves. Jesus hangs there, and at the noon hour, the sky begins to turn dark as God begins to heap upon Jesus the sin of all of us, the sin of all mankind, once and for all. Your sin and mine from all times past and for all future. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb once and for all. The Bible tells us that in Jesus on this day, He is removing the sin of the world by His atoning blood. Jesus hangs on the cross. And He says there, in John chapter 19, there in verse 28, it says there that Jesus cries out and He says, I thirst! I find comfort in the fact that the Scripture says there in that verse, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. That what was accomplished? That on this God's Friday, our salvation was once and for all completed in Christ Jesus. Finished. That is why in the book of Hebrews, it says that a priest can often offer up sacrifices for the removal of sin, but the Bible says it removes no sin. Because Jesus Christ is the one who once and for all made atonement for our sins and then sat down at the right hand of God the Father. It's at this hour of noon that the price is paid. But Jesus says, I thirst. Why did He say that? Of course, the theologians tell us that His tongue is parched and swollen because of dehydration. Of course He thirsts. But isn't it interesting for all of us, it can be said of all of us prior to coming to Christ that we thirst? I thirst. I go from thing to thing, from place to place. But oh, for us this afternoon, Jesus Christ has quenched our thirst. Finally, once and for all. And I'm thinking this morning, in our mind's eye, there's a woman, I want to believe, in the crowd somewhere in this afternoon. Jesus is hanging. Tears must be flowing down her face. When He says, I thirst! She remembered a day that she was thirsty. She remembered a day that she, through relationships with one man after another, could never find fulfillment. She even worshipped. And in Mount Gerizim, she worshipped looking for God. She had a form of religion, but she was trying to find God. And in John chapter 4, verse 6, I'll read it to you. It says there that there was Jacob's well. And Jesus, therefore, being weary from His journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that's noon, 12 o'clock. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. But His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to Him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Then the woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well and drank from it Himself, as well as His sons and His livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus hanging on the cross. I thirst. Her mind going back to a year earlier. She was thirsty. Coming to get a drink of water, Jesus says, you drink of the water I give, and you'll never thirst again. that lady comes to Christ. She makes a commitment to Him. She goes back to her hometown and says, "Man, I've met a man who can tell me everything about my past, and He loves me anyway. Come see, could this be the Messiah?" And I believe that she found Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is going to ask us to keep the Passover celebration as we'll partake in a moment in communion together. Are you thirsty? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Are you longing? Make this God's Friday in your life once and for all. For those of us who are Christians, let's remember what He did. For Jesus says, if you thirst any longer after drinking of this water, then perhaps you've never really had the water. But to those of us who have partaken of Jesus Christ, who have been born again by the Spirit, this is a Good Friday. It's a Friday that we understand. It's a Friday that we see clearly with the eyes that God has given us through faith. The Bible tells us that He, Jesus, has purchased us with His own blood, that is the church of God. Now your thirst can be quenched. Our thirst this afternoon is quenched in the blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer thirst. He has filled us to overflowing. Just a few hours, really, from Jesus hanging on the cross earlier, Jesus had said to His disciples as they sat at the table, as they were eating, Jesus, taking the bread, He blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood in the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. Drink." The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:6, "And He said unto me, it is done, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him who is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And then in Revelation 22:1, the Scripture tells us there, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God." Jesus hanging on the cross on this Good Friday, beaten, bloody, dehydrated, scorned and mocked and rejected so that you may never sense and feel rejection, really, for all eternity. Oh yes, men may spit at you now as they did at Jesus. Men may curse you now as they did with Jesus. But Jesus experienced ultimate thirst, ultimate rejection, ultimate shame, that you and I would never have to go into eternity suffering the separation between God and His creation. It is a Good Friday. Outside these walls, the world is on its course doing its thing. The boats have been loaded up on the trailers. The freeways are beginning to fill up. People heading out to enjoy themselves over the Easter weekend break. They're enjoying the grace of God. And yet, just like those who stood around the cross and of that day, the earth shook and the earth turned dark. But many went on about their business not knowing. But this afternoon we pause and we rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. I get so excited at Easter time. I can hardly contain myself. It's wonderful. It's not Easter. It's resurrection. And that's the greatest news in all the world. In a moment, we're going to ask you to just partake of communion as the worship will now begin and get underway as we're doing that. Those of you who are, of course, are family here, you know what to do at communion. And if you're visiting, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, just come forward and grab the elements, the bread as a representation of the body of Jesus Christ, the cup filled with the wine as a representation of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus this afternoon, just simply say, Lord, I want to know you. I am thirsty. Come into my life. And then come forward and partake at the table of the Lord. We're going to begin now, right after this prayer. Father, we come before you. And Father, we offer up to you this afternoon, God, our appreciation. Lord, we just say thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. And Lord, help us to see now that the shadow that was being cast by the cross is lost in the earth as the sky increasingly gets darker and it turns a darkness that it can be felt. And Lord, the ground begins to shake. The tombs begin to open. People begin to scream and run to and fro. The veil of the temple torn in half. This is the day when Jesus revealed to us, Father, for our peace and our comfort and our appreciation that it is finished. Lord, thank you that Jesus became thirsty for us that we might never have to become thirsty. Thank you, Jesus, that you hung on the cross that we might never have to experience the separation that you experienced. Thank you, Lord God in heaven, that we upon earth this afternoon have been freed from our sin once and for all, and we walk in the freedom and in the newness of eternal life. God, I pray upon this church, upon all of our lives, that the truth of the resurrection would empower us and set us free like we've never been free before. Lord, touch us as we desire this afternoon to touch you back. In Jesus' name, amen.